Well, there really has been a theme that's consistent with us here this morning. We love our Lord. We love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we are so grateful for the Word of God. How many understand that God changes our lives by reading the pages of His Word? That's where we find Him. That's where we discover Him. We discover His thoughts, His ways. We ask Him to write His Word, His ways on our hearts and on our minds. And He transforms us by the power of that Scripture. We have been long time supporters as congregations in Pullman and as this congregation here since we began Grace Christian Center of the Gideon Ministry. They are not just locally, they are nationally, as you know, and they minister around the world. And we go year by year to the pastor's banquet that they put on and are so blessed to meet the people that are there, the humility of the servants of the Lord. And they go around the world at their own expense to hand out the Scriptures to people. You know, in our own country, that they have distributed Scriptures on school premises for many years. And then that changed. And we began as a country to push the Word of God away. And so we began to push the Gideons away. And yet they find a way to distribute the Scriptures. And how many are grateful if you didn't bring your Bible with you when you go to a motel or hotel, you'll see one still typically in that hotel drawer, thankfully. So this morning we have the privilege of having Mr. Dale Gustafson with us. He's been a Gideon for over 20 years. He was a retired teacher for 38 years of the fifth grade. So we're going to honor him as a man of courage this morning. And I said, you know, having put up with fifth graders, he could probably put up with us just fine. But he's from Port Angeles, and the brother with him is Mr. Mike Bartkus, and we appreciate you being here too, Mike. And so let's give the Gideons a wonderful welcome and enjoy hearing the Word of God from them.
Pardon me. By the way, sometimes people ask me, how did you remain sane for 38 years? The answer is I didn't. Fifth graders are delightful. By the way, I enjoyed almost every year. I have a mild palsy, and this doesn't. There we go. All I have to do is figure out what to do with the battery. I got it. Oh, that's a great beginning, by the way. No thanks. I've already got one. I got it in the Clallam County Jail. That was the answer a young woman gave to a Gideon couple who were handing out New Testaments at the Jefferson County Fair. She went on to describe she had been in jail around Christmas time about a year before. Don't know why she was there. I assume it was for good and sufficient reason. And she said several other things. Among them was that every one of the inmates, some women had come to the jail with bags. I don't know what was all in the bags. I understand chocolate loomed large. But there were also New Testaments provided by the Gideons. They were members of the auxiliary. And she said two things. Every one of the inmates had accepted a New Testament, and every night they put that New Testament under their pillow. I can think of a few reasons why. One is they're not full of honest people, and they wanted to keep them. But also, keep the Word of God near them. The second thing she said was her great desire in life at that point, now, was to be a woman who visited jails and gave New Testaments to people, to inmates. I am a Gideon. We are here on the Olympic Peninsula. We place Bibles in hotels, motels, bed and breakfasts, in the hands of school children. We try to hit every middle school and high school on the peninsula and Peninsula College once a year. We try to get to every hotel, motel, bed and breakfast twice a year. We place them in the hands of police officers, firemen. I have seen Gideon Bibles in barber shops. I rejoice at that. The auxiliary gives them to medical personnel. We hand them out wherever we can. In Isaiah, God gave us a promise, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's God speaking in His promise, and we depend on it.
We do.
And we place Bibles in 196 countries around the world, 99 different languages.
Beautiful.
There are Gideons right now in Syria.
Wow.
I have not got a report from how they're doing. I expect it's not well. I'm going to ask for several things today. And the first one is that as you think of the Gideons, you pray for the Gideons in places like Syria. If it's not a hardcore Islamic country like Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, if it's not North Korea, if it's not China, Gideons are probably there. And I ask you to pray for several things. One, the safety of the Gideons. The ability of them to continue to distribute the Word of God. I don't know how that's going to play out in Syria. I do know in 1975, some of you may remember 1975, it was not a happy time in Southeast Asia. The North Vietnamese took over South Vietnam. Cambodia was on its way to the killing fields. The president of the Gideon camp in Cambodia, and we were in both those countries in Laos. The president of the Gideon camp in Cambodia was last seen heading out of Phnom Penh towards the killing fields. Never seen or heard of again. It was a bad time. I was talking to I was at Joyce Bible Church for the Christmas Bazaar a month ago. And an elderly gentleman about my age came and we were talking, and he said that in 1975 he was a missionary in Thailand, and Thailand was being inundated by refugees from Cambodia, from Laos, from Vietnam. I actually have a young friend, not a Christian, who is a six-year-old boat person out of Vietnam. But he said they were there, and he got a call from the Thai Gideon camps. They had just received a large shipment of Bibles and New Testaments for Cambodia, Vietnam, and Laos. They had no way of shipping them in. There was no contact. Nothing. The Gideons, we don't ordinarily do this. We do our own distribution. But the Gideons said, it's not worth it to send them back. That's just expensive. We can't ship them into Cambodia or Laos. Can you, your mission, use them? And this missionary said, yes, we can use them. He told me, those Bibles and New Testaments were instrumental in the salvation of over 100,000 Cambodians, Laotians, and Vietnamese. God doesn't work the way I would work. He doesn't do things the way I would do things. Later on, just to finish with Cambodia, one of the 196 countries, by the way, we're back in Cambodia. It took us 20 years. We're back in Vietnam. We're back in Laos. Right. When they were going to restart the camps in Cambodia, the Gideons don't like to start camps in a country where they don't have scriptures. And so they were trying to figure out how to get scriptures into Cambodia. And somebody remembered, in 1975, over 20 years before, they had shipped some in, and they'd actually gotten into Cambodia and been put in a warehouse. They went looking for those New Testaments and Bibles, and they found them in the back part of a Cambodian warehouse. Cambodia is a tropical, semi-tropical country. It's hot, wet, lots of insects. They were pristine. There was no mildew. There was nothing. They had the Bibles to give out at that point. 196 countries, 99 languages. We're the largest mission organization in the world. We have two latest figures. By the way, the Gideon started as a business organization, so they are big on statistics, on figures, on goals, and so on. So this is the latest figure. Latest figures on numbers of Gideons, 200,839. Latest figures on auxiliary members, that's our wives, 108,346, the largest mission organization in the world. On top of which, we don't have to be taught the language. The first cry I cried was in English. I know how to speak English. I know how close to stand to somebody when I'm talking to them. That sounds funny. I have Mexican friends. When I first got to know them, they would take a step forward. I'd take a step back. Until I was out the door. They're... custom is to stand closer when they're talking than mine is. And there's nothing wrong with either one, but this Swedish thing I do is a little cold to my Mexican friends. We don't have to be taught these kinds of things. We know how to shake hands, and we know who to shake hands with. Well, they do too in their country. And there's no custom there. Victor Gonzalez was a Gideon His name wasn't Victor Gonzalez, it was Victor something else, in Guatemala. He went to a school for a distribution. He was the only one there. He was the only Gideon to make the distribution. And he handed New Testaments out to the children in this school, the middle school, high school. And he was the only one there. A few months later, he had to take a trip to another city in Guatemala for business. His car was being repaired, so he got on a bus, sat down. A woman got on the bus, sat down beside her. And he offered her a New Testament. She said, "I already have one." She told him the following story. She had had two children. Both of the children had died shortly after birth. She had decided if the only thing she was going to do is have children who died, she wasn't going to have any more children. She also decided the only way she could guarantee she wouldn't have any more children was to commit suicide. She planned a day. She planned a time. She was going to commit suicide. That day came, and her sister came home from school, handed her a little book, said, "Here, you might want to read this." She started to read it. She read it beyond the time when she was going to commit suicide. Instead of committing suicide, she committed her life to Christ. It was a New Testament given by Gideon. As they were talking, this Gideon found out the day and the school. And it was the day and the school where he was the only one handing out New Testaments. He was the one who gave her sister the New Testament.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Yes. They both did. We don't always know what happens. But we always know God will use it. Last year, we gave out 84,632,342 New Testaments and Bibles. I told you, it's a business organization. We got statistics. But that's not the full extent of how they are used by God. For instance, a young man came into our Nashville headquarters about almost a year ago now. He was from the Philippines. He said, back in 1945, right after World War II, and the Philippines were very damaged by World War II, the Gideons had started a camp there. And they had started handing out New Testaments. And his grandfather had been given a New Testament by one of the early Gideons in the Philippines. His grandfather had accepted that New Testament, had read it, had become a Christian, and been promptly disinherited by his family. Kicked out. Not going to have anything to do with him. His grandfather had become a pastor. He'd had five sons. He had prayed that all five of his sons would become pastors. All five did. They, in turn, had sons, and they prayed that their sons would become pastors. Well, you know, they did. At last count, because of that one New Testament, there were at least 23 pastors, and 500 churches have been planted in the Philippines because of one New Testament.
Praise God. Amen.
It doesn't work always that way, by the way. There are a group of Gideons in France handing out New Testaments to school children as they came by, as we do here in this country. And Gideon handed one to a young man. He took it, pulled out his cigarette lighter, lit it on fire, and burned the thing up. Now remember, if you send forth my word, it will not return to me void. It will do that which I require, want it to do. They continued to hand out New Testaments to other children, all the while praying, you know, what do you pray in that case? We're not used to that kind of rudeness. We've had people say, oh, not now. I don't want one. No thanks. But that was just downright unpleasant. But this young man hung around, kept watching as they handed out New Testaments to the school children. And as you get used to, there's first a rush of the ones who leave fast, and then it dribbles off until there's no more. Came the time when there was no more and they were packing up, and the young man came over to the Gideon and said, please, sir, may I have another? I won't burn this one up.
Wow.
I will take it home, and I promise I will read it from cover to cover tonight. And the Gideon, being a Gideon, said, yeah, here. But start with the Gospel of John. I don't know the end of that story. I don't know the end of most of the testimonies I hear. I just know I can trust God.
Yes, sir.
At this point, usually say something about money. The only thing I'm going to say is thank you. You have been very generous to us. We appreciate it deeply. And God has used what you have given us. A couple of things. You have a Gideon card rack in back. Anytime you want to, he can send thank you, so on. We appreciate it. There's other things you can do. And God will bless that, and He will send it forth to do His work. And it is His work. It's not the Gideon's work. It's not ours. It's not mine. We're your representative. We're your representative at the fair. We're your representative to hotels and motels. We represent you. We hope we represent you well, because we also represent God. And we don't want to embarrass Him. Like I have said several times, I don't understand how God works. For instance, Gideons are not in the habit of distributing Bibles by throwing them in the middle of Highway 101 in Northern California. It's just not the way we do it. But one day, several years ago now, a young woman was driving down Highway 101 in Northern California. She was running away. She'd made some really terrible decisions. She had some bad things happening to her. And she was running away, driving away down Highway 101 in California. And as she drove along, she saw in the middle of the highway a book. And something said, get that book. So she pulled off the highway. She walked back. And she started out to run out in the middle of the road to get the book. Car came back. She jumped back. Again, same thing. Jump back. Again, jump back. Finally, there was a break in the traffic, and she rushed out, grabbed the book, ran back to the side of the road, walked to her car, entered a car, sat down, and thought, that's the worst. That's the dumbest thing I've done in a long time. There we go. But she started to read that book sitting there beside Highway 101. It was a Bible. What it was doing in the middle of Highway 101, I don't know. It had the Gideon logo on it. Yeah? And as she read, she realized, she found out who she was running away from.
Wow.
It was God. She stopped running away. Now, I want you to be aware of this. Nothing had changed in her life. It really hadn't. She had still made a bunch of lousy decisions. She still had uncertain future. The only thing that changed was she now knew she'd been running from God. And that made a difference, because she found out she didn't have to run from Him. He was there. When we speak, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Gideons have certain things they want us to cover. I've covered them. You may not have picked up on it, but I have. Right, Mike? I'm going to tell a few more testimonies. This one, I'm going to practically read it. Lazario, a Gideon in Managua, Nicaragua, was walking toward his home one evening, following a planning meeting for an upcoming international scripture blitz. Pause. Scripture blitz is where Gideons from out of the country go into the country and they hand out New Testaments and Bibles with the people there already, and they will be handing out well over 100,000 scriptures in a week. And this was being planned, and Lazario was part of it. As he took a shortcut through a nearby park, three young men approached him with homemade weapons and demanded that he give them everything he had. Lazario responded, "All I have, I will give you in Jesus' name." As he emptied his backpack, he handed the young men the New Testaments he carried with him. They were very upset because he wasn't carrying anything that was valuable to them, and he wasn't sure what they were going to do to him. Then one of them asked him if he was a Christian. Azaria responded that he was, confirming that he'd been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He told him, "You know, I never walked through this park, but God sent me this way tonight to share the good news with you that Jesus died for you on the cross." The men began to weep. And then they apologized to Lazaro, asked for his forgiveness. As humble Gideon from Managua shared the plan of salvation with the three gang members, and they all surrendered their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next morning, Francisco, Jose, and Luis were drug-free and waiting for Lazario, this time to go to church and to be introduced to the pastor as new creatures in Christ. May all glory be to God forever. Your pastor mentioned that the Word of God changes lives. It does. It transforms lives if people are willing to read it, to learn, to hear God through the words of the Scripture. And that's between them and God. It's not up to us. We are in some Islamic countries. This story, this testimony, I am getting from a Middle Eastern country, unnamed. It's a dangerous place to be a Christian. There are Gideons in Egypt. That's not going to be any fun. There are Gideons in Lebanon, Syria, Gideons in Israel, Gideons in Jordan. This one takes place in one of those Middle Eastern countries. A Gideon was driving with his daughter going home from something, and they stopped at a store. And they went into the store, bought their things, and left. And when they got home, the daughter looked at her father, and in that tone of voice that sets fear into the hearts of every father in the world, said, "Dad, I left my purse at that store." It was too far to go back. It was too distant. Whatever was going to be taken was stolen. It wasn't worth it. So they just wrote it off, and she did whatever she had to do to deal with the problem that we all know. About a month later, the Gideon was back in the same area, and he thought, "Well, I'll stop in and see. Maybe somebody at least turned the purse in, and I can get her purse back." He walked in the store, and the manager said, "Yeah, I've got the purse. Come on back to my office." He got back to the office, and the manager sat down at his desk, and he pulled out the bottom drawer and said, "Here's the purse. There's a little book. I've been reading this little book. My book, my holy book, does not say anything about Christ or salvation. Doesn't really say anything about sin like this little book. Here's the purse. I think you'll find everything in it. But may I keep the little book?" And the Gideon, of course, said, "Yes, you may keep the little book. Praise the Lord." Because we think everybody should have access to that little book.
Amen.
We think everybody should know our Savior. And that's why we do what we do. And frankly, that's why we come and report to you. Because we find it an encouragement. And we hope you do.
Oh, yes.
And we thank you for the way you support us and for your generosity.
Thank you.
You probably run this, and I won't try to help you with it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Gustafson, and thank you, Brother Brodkus, for being here this morning. What a joy. I love the testimonies most of all. When you hear the testimonies of how the Lord is well able to change lives because of the Scriptures, I'm just moved. And we sit in some of these pastoral meetings where they share testimony after testimony and tears rolling down our faces because of what God can do. And we've experienced that, haven't we? When we open the Word of God together, our lives change. The richness of discovering even what was prophesied this morning, how much He loves us, how much He cares, how much He does for us. And I thank God that there are men and women who are very simply, very willing to give out a Scripture. We support you. We support the Gideons. We are so grateful that you've come this morning. Thanks for being here. Yes, ma'am.
Can I share a testimony
this morning? No. Yes, of course. Please do.
I got a call on Friday that my grandson had been hurt at school, and I live in Fort Townsend, and I needed to take him to the doctor because my daughter was at work. So I picked him up, and she made the appointment, and I took him into the clinic in Fort Townsend, and I walked in and sat down, and when I sat down, I looked to the left of me, and on the windowsill behind me, was a brand new Gideon Bible.
Praise God.
I've never seen. I don't know when it was put there. I've never seen a Gideon Bible in a medical clinic in Fort Townsend.
Wow.
I was so thrilled, and I said, thank you, Lord,
yep,
that the Word of God is in this place, because Fort Townsend is a dark city. I mean, it's a dark place. There's a lot of New Age demonic activity, and the Word of God, I could tell it was new, and it just really blessed me. It really did. It just, that's current. That was 2 days ago.
Beautiful. Yes, please do. Please do.
Are the ones who place the Bibles in medical offices are wives, the auxiliary. And they, about 2 or 3 months ago, went to Port Townsend and covered as many of the medical offices as they could.
Wow.
There were a few who refused, but most of them were quite happy to have the Bible.
Fantastic.
It was, we were rejoicing.
Yeah.
You know, how many of you received a Gideon's Bible when you were a kid in school, as a little kid? I mean, years ago. And then probably in college or maybe military service. I just thank God for that. I remember being a teenager doing what teenagers do, but I had a little green New Testament. And the Lord uses His Word. I love the scripture you began with, and why don't we close with it as well, Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Isn't that good news? If you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge, invite, the Lord commands, but we invite you to come and give your life to Him. We'd be honored to pray for you at the end as you surrender to Jesus. If you've never done that, let your life really, truly begin today as you do so. If you need prayer for anything, whether it's healing in your body, whatever it is, we'll be honored to stand with you and pray. As you come forward, we'd be joyfully involved with you. We thank you for coming. Next week, we'll be going back to our series on Joseph and Joseph's journeys. But this morning is rich, and I really am grateful for your coming to be with us again. Let's give them a round of applause again.